Got a question. One that's bothered society for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's who crucified Jesus. If you want to go back into the Middle Ages and go back into even into the 1800s, the early 1900s, everyone said the Jews. And that's caused tremendous difficulty for them. They were killed, they were run out of town, their businesses were smashed. Let's blame it on the Jews. Who crucified Jesus? And you know, the answer has to come back, the Jews. That's who did it. Look in John, the 7th chapter, and verse number 1. It says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Jesus knew well in his life that the Jews were seeking to kill him. Their plans were to kill him. Their desire was to kill him. And it was of great danger to him throughout this part of his life. When we get to Acts, the 2nd chapter, we find Peter, as he accuses the Jews, of doing just exactly that. In Acts, the 2nd chapter, and I'm going to be looking at verse number 36. It said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Peter knew well they were the ones who were ultimately responsible for crucifying Jesus. But the Jews didn't actually do it. But they were certainly blamed for it. If you go to Acts, the 4th chapter, you're going to find a statement in verse 23 that talks a little bit different story. Excuse me, I gave myself the wrong reference. Acts, the 13th chapter, and verse 26. So, men and brethren, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to you the word of salvation has been sent. For those who dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not know him, nor even the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause for death in him, they asked Pilate that he should be put to death. Now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. The Jews did not actually do it. But in Matthew, the 27th chapter, in verse number 24, they willingly accepted the blame for it. When Matthew 27:24, the time when they were before Pontius Pilate, they were put in a position of having to accept the blame or have it turned down. Pilate saw he could not prevail, but rather tumult was rising. He took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it. And listen to what the Jews said. They answered and said, his blood be on us and on our children. So you have to say, when evaluating who is it that crucified Jesus, the Jews had their part. They had part of the blame. They're partially responsible. But then you can ask the question again, who is it that crucified Jesus? Well, he said in Matthew 20, verse 18, he said, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. This is Jesus speaking. The Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes. And we know that was when Judas betrayed him. And they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to be mocked and to be scourged and to crucify. So Jesus prophesied before it ever happened that the Gentiles would be the ones who would actually crucify him. They're the ones who did it. They're the ones who pounded the nails. They're the ones who beat him, put the thorn of crowns upon his head. That's certainly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, in verses 8 and 9, when he said it was the Gentiles. So that we've answered our question, right? Who is it to crucify Jesus? It was the Jews and the Gentiles. No, there's more to it than that. The Bible makes sure that we all understand that God had a part in this. He foreordained it. In Acts, the 4th chapter, we're told very plainly, Acts 4 and 27, that it was by the foreknowledge of God. It said, "For truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined beforehand." God determined that Jesus was going to be crucified. He foreordained it. The Gentiles nailed him there. The Jews accused him of it. We need to know and understand, it's not a simple question. Who crucified Jesus? God showed his love to us by the giving of, in John the 3rd chapter in verse number 16 and many other places. We're told in 1 Peter the 1st chapter verses 18 and 19, it was part of God's eternal plan. That was before the beginning of time. God had decided the only way to bring mankind back to him, to cover that great chasm that was there because of our sins, was the blood of his Son. So God crucified Jesus. And then, of course, we all know that Jesus gave his own life. He tells us in Matthew 28, that no man can take my life. I lay it down, and I'll take it back. We can know and understand that the Jews did it, the Gentiles did it, and God had a part in it. But now we get down to the difficult part. Who crucified Jesus? Folks, we did. You and I. Look in 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter 2. And verse number 24. Who himself, who Jesus, bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live to righteousness, by whom you're healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of our flock. We can't blame the Jews. We can't blame the Gentiles. We can't say, God, how could you do that to your own Son? It was our sins, yours and mine, that he took to that cross. It was by his stripes that we were healed. Oh, yes, the Roman soldier was the one that laid the whip across his back to put the stripes there. But by those stripes, we were healed. It was the Roman soldier that pounded the nails in his hands and his feet. By his blood and by his death, we are saved. We can now return to the shepherd and to the overseer of our souls. Jesus died for our sins. That's a thought that ought to always be before us. That's a thought that ought to induce gratitude beyond belief from you and I. We can read in, put another way, in the book of Hebrews, this time in the 9th chapter, in verse number 26. He, Jesus, then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sins by the sacrifice of himself. He not only died for our sins, he died to put away our sins. To see that those sins are not on our record, that we're never going to have to face them. You know, if you go to the bank and say, you know, I'd like to get a loan. The bank is going to pull out a nice clean sheet of paper. Say, all right, tell me how much you want. How are you going to pay it back? And we'll assume that you've already paid back all of your old loans and that they were always on time and we never had to dun you, right? Well, you're living in a different world than I am. You go to the bank and they open the drawer, they pull out the file, and there it is. Every loan, every car, every record they have of dealing with you. And you have to answer, well, why were you late back in February of 94 on that loan so that we had to call you twice that month in order to get the... Who can remember? But you've got to answer for the things that you've done. But Jesus says we'll never have to answer for our sins, because they have been put away. They've been taken from our record. They've been cleansed from our record so that we no longer have to face them. But it was our sins that put him there. It was our sins that caused that sacrifice to be made. You can also look at it just a little bit differently in the 10th chapter. And going to verse number 12. So this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from the time waiting till his foot enemies are made. For by offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. It's not as though it has to be done over and over and over as it was under the Old Testament law. There was one sacrifice for the perfecting forever of those who were being sanctified, of those who are sanctified. You and I, folks, we're the ones that put him on the cross. We're the ones that should be so grateful that he was willing to die for our sins. For he certainly didn't have to. As he told Peter, I can call down legions of angels. But that wasn't what it was supposed to be. Remember what he said in the garden? Father, take away this from me, but not my will, lest thy will be done. Your will. That's the love that Jesus has for all of us. That's the love that's there for us. So who crucified Jesus? Well, the Jews admitted they had a part in it, and they did. The Romans committed the crime. God permitted the crime. Jesus submitted to the cross. But you know something? You and I benefited from it. I know this is a short lesson tonight, but I thought it was something that we needed to stop and we needed to think about. We need to take our minds and be so grateful, so thankful that Jesus was willing to go to the cross, that he was willing to suffer that shame, willing to suffer that pain, willing to suffer being separated from God when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? How painful that must have been. And it was because of me. And it was because of you. Through our lives, we have caused him and the Father that kind of pain. Do we really appreciate it? Do we take that thought into our consideration in making our daily decisions? What am I going to do? Where am I going to go? How am I going to dress? by my past, I put Jesus on the cross. I don't want to do it again. Who put Jesus on the cross? Well, as I've shown tonight, there's enough blame to go around for everybody. And this is not talking about blame tonight. I'm talking about gratitude. I'm talking about remembering the grace that was shed for us and the love that we need to give back to Him when we think about who crucified Jesus. Do you need the prayers of the brethren tonight? I believe everybody in here has already been immersed based upon their belief and their repentance and their confession. But there may be some here who have not accepted that my past life crucified Christ, and I don't want it to happen again. We do not want to face Judgment Day looking the Father in the eye and saying, I crucified Him daily. Daily. Can we help? Can we pray with you and pray for you? Please, won't you give us that opportunity and do it right now while we stand and while we sing.